to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, March 28th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, the media attacks constitutionalists again.
Constitutional extremists, to be accurate.
The world's first Bitcoin ATM is announced. And David Knight analyzes the viral spread of the Alex Jones, Billy Corgan interview. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, we're going to do the news, but before we do that, we've got a breaking news about the demonization of the Patriot movement by Hollywood. And Alex Jones has some details about that. Alex?
Okay. David, thanks. I mean, there are hundreds of examples of this now. Any drama, any cop show, any medicine show that my wife watches, she says, come look at this. You know, the guy won't vaccinate his kids. He's a child molester. You know, the woman homeschools, she secretly murders children. And people out there watching, you know this. And you get in this suspended disbelief, and they're programming you. Most people don't watch news or read newspapers. That's got its own more sophisticated programming and propaganda that looks ham-fisted to those of us that are awake. But to news readers, is very powerful. But the real programming is happening with these shows like Founding Fathers, where the guy that's pro-gun in Texas and leading the militia, he's really Al-Qaeda, which fits into the whole narrative that, oh, it's white Al-Qaeda or gun owners are really Al-Qaeda. This is the foreign takeover arm demonizing who they believe their opposition is going to be. And there are at least five shows I'm aware of that we've covered the last few months that are on NBC, ABC, CBS, you name it, demonizing anybody that talks about liberty, freedom, the Constitution. Hey, I think we have a Second Amendment. Hey, there's too many drones. Anti-war, you name it. Anything that isn't outside the cookie cutter box of Obama's a peace prize winner, let him bomb everybody. Hey, I love Obamacare, even though it was written by the insurance companies to rip us off. Anybody who can think is demonized, because we are effective. We are the opposition. Now, Will Jones, one of our great crew members, came to me today and he said, look at my cell phone. We watched this show called The Following on Fox, you know, big Fox TV, biggest, not just news, but biggest entertainment. And I sat there and watched a lot of it he taped on his phone. And that's the clip you're about to see, is some excerpts of that, you know, via fair use. We show you the whole thing. But a lot of you out there watching it, tonight probably saw it. It's a very highly rated show. It's called The Following, where a genius psychopath leads an army of other psychopaths in a psycho cult. I thought it was Homeland Security or the government or the globalists or the Nazis or the Soviets or the Maoists, the statists. I thought it was that psycho cult. But no, no, no. It's every episode, he says, is individualist. And the cult leader, the head psycho who we're going to show, Kevin Bacon, but also his acolyte, famous actor you see in series like the, you know, Rome and stuff, they only want to hire militia, right-winger, patriot, pro-gun people. And so they're talking to new terrorists who are going to carry out terror attacks for them. And it's called The Following on Fox. And these are the guys that get chosen because they're not only are they terrorists and murderers and psychopaths and killers, they then tell them, we're constitutionalists. And the head psychopaths go, because when they hear that, they know this is pure evil.
Pure propaganda.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing worse than Al-Qaeda except a constitutionalist. Mm-hmm. The only thing worse than a psychopath, a serial killer, somebody that grabs your kid out of the schoolyard, is a constitutionalist. They believe in freedom and a Bill of Rights and due process, and that puts, you know, surfs up, smiles up. I mean, this is pleasing. So we're about to play this clip. And I know I saw this right before the show tonight. You haven't even seen this yet. So let's watch this clip and then get your take on it, David, and then you can get into the news. But here it is.
The cell tower linked to your wife is near a roadside motel on Highway 31.
Typically, there's 5 to 6 agents per safe house in a designated area away from the other guests.
I'm thinking an M17 or my micro Uzi with a silencer.
You ex-military? I don't know. We're better than that.
They were both raised by militia.
Well, constitutional extremists, to be accurate.
You sure about this?
You want your wife back? These two can do it. They've got the skills and the know-how.
Constitutional extremists. I don't know how those two go together.
Now, constitutionalists are extremists, are terrorists, when the police and military all swear an oath to it, and we live in a country that's under that.
Yeah, it was Barry Goldwater that said extremism in defense of liberty is no vice, right? And moderation and pursuit of justice is no virtue. But we've gone full circle the other way. It was Jesse Ventura who said that first they assassinate your character, then they assassinate you. This is assassinating the character of people who are constitutionalists, who are patriots, who are militia. All these different labels are throwing out there, and they're connecting that with a mass murder. You know, it's pure propaganda.
It's a show worshiping psychopaths that Hollywood has popularized who are now branching out into terrorism. And it's not just this show. It's every new drama out there has this message because we're the opposition. We're saying due process, no torture, no secret arrest, no warrantless wiretapping, no imperial wars, liberty. We're unifying the left and right around freedom. And so every message is we're the worst. And then in the real world, as we broke 4 years ago, but now officially it's public rollout, the new terrorists aren't Al-Qaeda. They're good guys in Libya and Syria working with NATO. It's gun-owning conservative libertarians, returning veterans, and you saw the Southern Poverty Law Center report last week, white Christians, just being a Christian now, or being white. You notice they're all white on there, which again is to create, now they've already demonized all the brown people with Al-Qaeda, and the police think it's okay to go after anybody who's a minority. Now let's, the whites are, no one's trusted but Homeland Security. I mean, this is cartoonish for those of us that are awake.
And it's very effective propaganda, though, because this is what Hollywood does. This is why we run an Operation Paul Revere. We have to get to people's hearts and minds. It's not enough just to tell them what's going on and present the facts to them. People are going to see this over and over and over again, this meme of connecting, you know, terrorists to constitutionalists, to terrorists to militia, that sort of thing.
It's Pavlovian.
It is. It is. So your response, when you hear those words, immediately this is going to flash in your mind. Just like, you know, seeing the stadium implode in the Dark Knight. You know, people are going to look at that, and when they're going through security at an NFL game, they're going to think, they're going to see that image.
It's simulated terror attacks so that you, even though it's non-existent outside of stage events, you have the shared cultural memory of Olympus has fallen. The North Koreans are going to blow up the White House right as they put out film saying they are in conjunction. You go, well, how does our government control North Korea? The globalists control China, they control North Korea.
It's visceral. It's in your gut. It's in your subconscious. And it comes out.
It's like the red cape to the bull.
Exactly.
But it's the sword behind the cape we've got to look out for. I saw this before 9/11. They demonized Muslims and Al-Qaeda and said, here's your enemy. We're going to take your rights when they attack. I'm seeing the same pre-programming now. The new enemy is going to be people that don't want their bank accounts drained like Cyprus. The new enemy is going to be people that are aware of the globalist takeover and say, hey, we have rights. And the urban warfare drills I went to over a decade ago. Now there's new films out publicly. It's like, I have rights. You can't take my guns. I have rights. Don't take my home. And the Marines practice mowing them down. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and I can't wait to see the news.
Yes. Boy, that's just amazing. Well, moving from the fictional to the political world, we have Vice President Biden telling a New York mayor's conference on gun control that the Senate gun bill vote is only the beginning. He says, this is just the beginning. We believe that weapons of war have no place on our streets, said Biden. We believe there's no rational reason why someone would need a clip that holds 15, 20, 100 bullets, 100 rounds. We have to do more, and we will do more. Here's that clip of him at the speech.
I just asked them one question. Think about Newtown. Think about Newtown. When the ban was in place last time, there was not a constitutional challenge.
The assault weapons ban was already passed by Congress in 94, but it expired 2004. Biden wants to reinstate it after the ban was dropped from the gun law bill earlier this week.
Well, that was from a conference that Mayor Bloomberg had called Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Actually, what they ought to call that is Illegal Mayors Against Guns, because they're coming out against guns that are legal. They're currently legal. And if you read the Constitution, they're going to stay legal. Now, Bloomberg understands the difference between banning and infringement. When he was called on some of these other things that he's doing in New York, like soda restrictions and restricting the size of the soda, he said, we're not banning soda. We're just infringing on people's rights to have, say, a 32-ounce soda or something like that. Well, he no more has the right under the Constitution, he definitely does not have the right to say that you can't have a just the difference between a 32-ounce soda and a 16-ounce soda. He can't say that you can have a 30-round clip or a 15-round magazine. He can't. He doesn't have the right to do that. That's an infringement. That is specifically prohibited by the Constitution. Now, back in February, Wayne LaPierre, hopefully has his number, Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA, he said, this so-called background check is aimed at one thing, registering your guns. When another tragic opportunity presents itself, that registry will be used to confiscate your guns. Imagine right now your name on a massive government list. That's exactly right. And hopefully the NRA is going to stick to their guns and they're going to fight any efforts to further register and make a more comprehensive database, because that is a prelude to confiscation. I'm absolutely convinced that the only reason they haven't moved at the current time for confiscation is that they want a more comprehensive database. Well, these people, you can't really trust them if they're not going to follow the letter of the Constitution about infringement, and you can't even trust them to give you a straight answer. You remember, Rand Paul had to filibuster in order to get the Attorney General to give him a straight answer on drones, up or down. Now, Big Sis is ignoring Congress's demands for briefings on bullet buys. Paul Joseph Watson reports, says Janet Napolitano has ignored a letter written by New Jersey Congressman Leonard Lance, calling for Department of Homeland Security chief to attend a congressional briefing and provide an explanation as to why DHS has committed to purchasing more than 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition over the last year.
Yeah.
And the congressman is absolutely amazed. He said he's not asking for Napolitano to testify, but to give us a congressional briefing because Congress wasn't aware of it. It deserves an answer. That was his spokesperson telling the Daily Record. And that's absolutely true. We've had Forbes say the same thing. We need to have a dialogue. We need to question. This is an astronomical quantity of bullets that are being bought. And so we need to understand what's going on. Is this the government gearing up for what they anticipate to be a civil war? Or is this gun confiscation by a non-legislative means? Because even if they leave you with your guns, if they take all your ammo, that's essentially gun confiscation. The Second Amendment was about arms. Arms is inclusive to mean ammunition as well as the actual guns. Well, I never thought I would see anything like this, but Alex Jones has had a startling reversal. And I can't really explain it. You're just going to have to watch this.
War has been declared on the Second Amendment. War has been declared on the entire Bill of Rights. But we've always known, and our founders warned us, when they come for the guns, you know your nation is in dire peril. That's why the founders called for gun control, and that's why I'm now endorsing it. No, not gun control over the people who are the source of liberty and justice, and wherever firearms are found, evil is restrained, as Thomas Jefferson said. No, I'm calling for government and the illegal standing army that is Homeland Security, a fifth branch of the military that admits its mission is to suppress gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, returning veterans, Christians. This is the globalist corporate takeover army. And they've used the fake pretext of terrorism to set this up. And now they're telling us, forget about Al-Qaeda. The new terrorists are domestic conservative gun owners who won't turn their guns in. They want to have a civil war in this country. That's their smokescreen to have a purge. And so I am calling for the standing army that is Homeland Security and the thousands of armored vehicles, the tanks, the helicopters, the 2 billion rounds of ammunition to be handed over to the Department of Defense, who has been very resistant in the last 20 years towards the RAND Corporation and the globalist commands to become a domestic military. Everything the system has done is to condition us to accept this so that the globalists can fully implode the economy and accelerate their social engineering. America is under attack from within and without by the globalists. And I also call for collaborators like Dianne Feinstein, Bloomberg, Michael Moore, John McCain, and others to relinquish their firearms to the local government and to declare that they are giving up their taxpayer-paid-for bodyguards, in the case of the senators and people like Mayor Bloomberg, who has more than 15 people on his security detail. These people are unbelievable hypocrites who do not want you to be able to protect your family, because they know the Second Amendment has become a beachhead of liberty. And these globalists are desperate that the public not learn of the FBI statistics that are collected from local governments across the United States that conclusively show since 1991, violent crime has dropped 49%. It's going straight down because gun ownership is going straight up. Gun ownership goes up, crime rates go down. It is a fact. And the system is panicking over that, that Chicago and New York and other places where only the government mafia has firearms are crime-ridden bastions of oppression. Think about it. We see a giant Homeland Security arms buildup, and then we get their terror training manuals, and they announce their new number one enemy is gun owners and people that won't turn their firearms in. This is an authoritarian takeover. This is an attempt to sell their purge against the American people. That's why we've got to use the First Amendment now like we never have before, or we're going to lose this entire country. The globalists are coming in here testing the waters to see if they can sell the public on a civil war with Homeland Security as a standing army waging war against the American people who value the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and our sacred republic. Now, in a moment, I'll get into their overall battle plan to disarm this once free nation. But first, I wanted to just show you a few of the hundreds and hundreds of clips that are online showing surveillance footage where different gangs of thugs come into businesses, come into homes, come into public places and attempt to rob and attack the peaceful population, and where citizens stand up as true guardians of liberty and defend themselves and those around them. Are the nanny state criminals desperate that you not learn that more guns means less crime? They're also scared of all the local newscast every day in this country. There's thousands of these videos online showing citizens protecting themselves from vicious robbers, criminals, and rapists. They are scared of the fact that the common sense that we have a responsibility to protect ourselves is beginning to get out there. The globalist mafia wants you to be dependent, wants you to be a victim, wants you to be scared, wants you waiting 15 minutes for the police to arrive, calling 911 instead of protecting yourself. That's what this is all about. Dianne Feinstein, Michael Moore, all of these people that have their own bodyguards are trying to smother the liberty movement. They're trying to shut it down. They know you're waking up to their nanny state tyranny. They know that you're aware of the fact that they have bodyguards. They know that you understand that they work for foreign banks that want to bankrupt and consolidate this country. And that's why they're desperate now to launch a full-out assault on the Second Amendment to destroy this country once and for all. You've seen what the globalist propaganda media spews all day. That if somebody commits a crime with a gun, all gun owners are collectively guilty because of that, and so we all have to be collectively punished. Pure authoritarianism. But if we're going to talk about guilt by association, our founders said, you better keep government small, and even if you do, it's probably going to enslave you. So if gun owners are collectively guilty for what someone else does, isn't government collectively guilty? Our founders warned us about the danger of government. They said, you better keep government tiny and on a short leash. And even if you do, it'll be hard to keep your liberty. George Washington famously said, government is like fire, a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And did you know that if you cut out all the military deaths from the last century's wars and just look at government killing innocent people, lining them up and shooting them, starving them, you name it, it's more than 260 million people killed by government in what is known as democide. And so that is guilt by association. We know government is the number one threat in world history. And now tyranny has come to America and is telling us we need to turn our guns in. And we've got Dianne Feinstein famously smiling on television and saying, we're going to get our gun control agenda through, if not now, later, because there will be more incidences.
These events are going to continue.
And smiling. Oh, yes. Isn't it exciting to know how you're going to be able to use those dead children? Ignore the millions of kids killed by government after disarmament and just take those 20 and throw them in everybody's face. And she said she's seen the photos. She has the grisly details. They may release them. And Michael Moore salivates and says, release the photos of the dead kids. Destroy the Second Amendment. Destroy the NRA. While he has bodyguards. And now he's saying Harry Reid wouldn't have voted against taking the guns if he'd have had his grandchildren dead.
If a man with an assault weapon goes in to the school where Harry Reid's grandchildren go to school tomorrow and kills his grandchildren, what would he stand in front of that microphone at 5 o'clock and say, I know how Dianne, you know, had to witness the mayor getting murdered, but my grandchildren just got killed today, but, you know, we can't get it passed because we just don't have the votes. Would he do that really? I don't think so.
These people are salivating over the few massacres that happen so that they can collectively have us put on that guilt and turn in our firearms when we, the people, have lowered the crime rate with our Second Amendment by 49% and saved countless lives and brought countless criminals to justice. And that's the big secret they don't want you to know about. So the answer in closing is get on the offensive. They're going to guilt us over guns. They're going to register our guns. And every time there's a new event, they're going to call for more restrictions and then confiscations once our guns are registered. And that's what they're pushing through the Senate right now. No more private sales where you can't even give a gun to your son or your daughter and where they can arrest you claiming you don't have proof of receipt of a 10-round mag. What's happening is the corrupt power structure is declaring war on gun owners. They're announcing all the different ways they're going to put us in jail for over 10-round mags or not having proof of where we bought a rifle, even though you have no criminal record. And if you were ever on Prozac or ever depressed, your guns are going to be taken. It is a nightmare scenario. If we can't trust the American people to be armed, then we can't trust the government to be armed. In fact, our founders said, trust the people to be armed, don't trust the government to be armed domestically. No standing army. And that's what Homeland Security is a fifth branch of the military operating domestically, and it is cancer. And it staged Fast and Furious as a false flag terror attack to blame the Second Amendment, but by the grace of God, they were exposed. Ladies and gentlemen, history is happening right now. We're winning the Second American Revolution in the info war. That's why the establishment wants to start a civil war by persecuting gun owners. We need to hold our fire in the Second Amendment range. We need to intensify our fire in the First Amendment. Let's work as hard as we can to try to fix this peacefully. Please get this video out to everyone you know. I'm Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com.
From my cold, dead hands.
Well, that's a good point. Can we really trust people who have broken the law over and over again, who have violated their oath to the Constitution that they have sworn to serve, and who have demonstrated that they are violent, excessively violent? That's a good point. Maybe they shouldn't have guns. Maybe they are criminally insane. Who knows? Maybe even paranoid. Well, Otto von Bismarck knew something about the nature of government, and he said, there's two things you don't want to see being made, laws and sausages. Well, as patriots, we want to know what goes into our laws, and we want to know what goes into our food. Now, we've had over and over again examples of large corporations using the government to punish their competition, to go after small businesses. Think about what the milk industry is doing to raw milk producers. And we've seen them use the government to protect them and even to lie. Look at the food labels and how they are blatantly lying on the food labels and not telling people about the presence of genetically modified food and what you're buying. But we've never seen anything more blatant and more dangerous than the Monsanto Protection Act. Anthony Gucciardi writes, are you surprised? Monsanto openly wrote their own Monsanto Protection Act. He said, it should come as no surprise to many of you to find out that Monsanto actually authored the wording of its own Monsanto Protection Act, hidden in the recently passed and signed continuing resolution spending bill. He says, Monsanto is now immune from federal courts regarding any suspension or action on their crops that have been deemed to be dangerous to the people or in the environment. And here's what that means. He says, theoretically, 1 million studies could find that Monsanto's latest creation was causing a massive cancer wave. And under this law, Monsanto could continue to peddle the crop to the public. Now, in spite of the fact that an activist organization called Food Democracy Now at the last minute was able to get 250,000 signatures on a petition to Obama to try to stop this, Obama signed it anyway. And in this article and another article from Mike Adams, we look at exactly how this happened. In this article, he focuses on Senator Blunt, who is from Missouri. He's a Republican from Missouri, and he's the one who actually wrote the bill most blatantly. But we also have, this is a bipartisan criminal action. Not only did it involve Obama, but it also involved Barbara McCluskey, a Democrat senator. As Mike Adams points out, and Obama betrays America yet again by signing the Monsanto Protection Act into law, he says that in this hidden backroom deal, Senator McCluskey turned her back on the consumer, environmental, and farmer protection in favor of corporate welfare for biotech companies such as Monsanto. That's a quote in the article from Andrew Kimbrell, executive director of the Center for Food Safety. Now, this new law, as he says, automatically it forces the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, to automatically approve all GMO planting permits sought by Monsanto and other biotech firms, effectively granting Monsanto dominion over the U.S. government. This is, by its very definition, fascism. Well, the very fact that they could get this put through shows that they really effectively already have dominion. They're just coming out in the open and making it a public law that they have dominion over the U.S. He also talks about Senator Blunt's involvement. Senator Blunt, the Republican from Missouri, he said he actually worked with Monsanto on a provision that, in effect, allows them to keep selling seeds, which can then go on to be planted, even if it is found to be harmful to consumers. And he says that is stunning. Now, the gist of this article from Mike Adams is that Obama is betraying, that Obama has deceived. He points out that when Obama ran for office in 2008, he promised to end secret prisons, to decriminalize marijuana, to balance the budget, to honor the Second Amendment, even, and to make health care affordable. Everything he has done has been against all of that. And he points out that Alex was severely criticized in 2009 when he said these are fraudulent promises, and it's pretty obvious that they're fraudulent promises. And the name of the documentary was The Obama Deception. And now we see 4 years later just how spot on Alex's documentary was. And it's not just in these areas where Obama has deceived us. I mean, there's been so many ones from the NDAA, drone strikes, assassinations, and that sort of thing. It's even in the immigration bill that was passed. Well, it's not a bill. It didn't pass. It was something that was a, as they put it, it was a presidential memorandum of June 15th, 2012. It's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And the way this is manifesting itself, it was, he told everyone at the time that this was not a path to amnesty. This was not legalization for illegal immigrants. What he said was this was just a presidential memorandum. And that memorandum is being enforced now by, you guessed it, Homeland Security, our favorite illegal organization. And the way it's manifesting itself in North Carolina, we see this Fox News report from there, North Carolina immigrant driver's licenses are being revealed. And if you look at the wording on here, it says, it will say on there that there is a legal presence but no lawful status. It's kind of hard to see on that because it was a very low resolution picture, but it's in red right under the driver's license. It says legal presence, no lawful status. That's kind of double talk, isn't it? I mean, the immigrants were concerned about the fact that it said no lawful status, but of course it now says legal presence. So which is it? The point is that if you don't have control over your legal citizens, you have a real problem maintaining what your country is about. Later on in the newscast, we have an interview with someone from Switzerland. He's with an organization that's essentially the Swiss NRA. Now, Switzerland is one of the most tolerant and multicultural countries that you'll find. They have three different cultures and three different language areas within Switzerland. They have a fourth language, which is the language of government. They have different cultures, different people, different tongues, all getting along with each other. But you do not become a Swiss citizen without a long residence there and without a lot of references to make sure that you share their common vision of what the country is about. And if we just open up our borders to anyone and let them come across and give them driver's licenses, that is a surefire way to lose what little bit of the vision that we have of our country that is left. And if you see the way this is enacted, this is, again, something that was not a law. This is something that Obama just declared in a memorandum, and you see that it is now being turned into essentially an amnesty law by the Department of Homeland Security through local law enforcement in the states. Well, by now I'm sure you're aware of the fact that in Cyprus, banks have closed. They've put limitations on the amount of withdrawals that people can have, and they're actually confiscating money out of people's accounts and calling it a haircut. And in a reaction to that, the Dollar Vigilante reports that the world's first Bitcoin ATM is being announced in Cyprus. He says, while European politicos negotiate in Brussels, deciding the fate of other people's money in Cyprus, the free market has already moved to help Cypriots get access to their money via other means. Banks have been closed for the last week in Cyprus, and if they do reopen on Tuesday, it's now been announced that daily withdrawal limits at ATMs will be 100 euros per day. Bitcoin has announced that it is their intention to put the company in the right position to open its very first ATM in Cyprus. If we did this now, and we are moving quickly to make this so, we would be the only functioning ATM on the island. Now, what we're seeing here is a clear example of what's been called Gresham's Law. And to summarize that, it's good money drives bad money out of circulation. This is a real challenge to the central banks, to the printing of money, to the confiscating money out of people's bank accounts. People no longer feel that they can trust the Federal Reserve, that they can trust the European banks. And so Bitcoin is basically stepping into the gap here. You've got Bitcoin, you've got gold, you've got other things. It's not really clear what the money standard is going to be. Everybody is questioning the current order, and it looks as if it's a bubble that's ready to burst. But this article brings out four interesting points. He says when you're looking for money, you look at durability, you look at portability, you look at fungibility, and you look at intrinsic value. He says that Bitcoin exists on the networks of users, and there's no singular switch that can turn Bitcoin off as far as durability goes. As far as portability, you can take it across borders without declaring it. All you need is a passcode that you understand, and you can have a flash drive, perhaps. And as far as fungibility goes, it is divisible up to 8 decimal places. It's going to be limited to 21 million Bitcoins worldwide. And as more and more people get into the system, they would divide that down farther and farther. And then he talks about intrinsic value. And in that, what he's talking about is the idea of privacy. We've already seen governments try to register, I believe it was here in Houston, try to get records of people who are buying and selling gold. So it's something to think about, because it's yet another way, as opposed to something that is physical like gold or cash, it is yet another way to store your money. And, of course, the question is, it's a very complicated structure that they've created here with Bitcoin. I'm not recommending that you do it. We're not recommending that you do it. But we're saying it's something you can take a look at. And these are all questions that, regardless of what the monetary standard is going to be that's eventually going to come around, we're going to be looking for honest money. People are looking for good, honest money. And if Bitcoin or somebody else can provide that, there's going to be a mass exodus to it. South by Southwest is a festival with film, music, and interactive media. Very large. Takes place here in Austin. It was about a week ago, and Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins stopped by and had an interview with Alex Jones on politics. Now, this is something that is a very effective interview. It really transcends the phony left-right paradigm, and it's driving the mainstream media crazy. They're like vampires with a cross before them. The only thing they can think of to do is to call Alex Jones a conspiracy theorist. And we've got clips here from Salon. You can see Billy Corgan on politics talks Obama, Occupy, wealth distribution. Chicago Sun-Times, Billy Corgan, an admirer, guest of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Well, you can read the full story at Infowars.com. We have an article there. Billy Corgan, Total Paradigm Shift. Don't miss it. It's a great interview. Well, that brings us to our quote for the day. What would life be if we had no courage to attempt anything? Vincent van Gogh. We'll stick around after the break. We've got a great interview with Mark Heim from Protel. It's essentially the Swiss NRA. We're going to talk about the real meaning of what a militia is, and we're going to talk about even gun control efforts in Switzerland and how they were defeated.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk, or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
Well, if you're familiar with the Battle of the Alamo, you may not be familiar with the massacre at Goliad. I attended a reenactment of that massacre this last weekend, and when I talked to some of the reenactors, I had an experience that maybe is a little bit like what you've had when you've talked to friends and relatives about gun control.
Muskets are the only kind of guns we should have today. What do you think about that?
No.
Yeah. And why not?
Why have a gun that takes 20 seconds to load?
Right, exactly.
If you're going to have a gun for protection, you want something that's efficient. I'm not sure we need to have access to 30-round magazines on assault rifles, but I sure don't want to see this country deprived of a thing to own firearm.
What an irony that this guy is a reenactor of the massacre at Goliad, and he's even a reenactor on the side that got massacred, and he doesn't understand the real purpose of firearms. Talk about not being able to see the forest for the trees. They see all the details about the weapons and about how people dressed and where people moved in the battle and that sort of thing, but they don't understand the real fundamental underlying issue. And the real issue is that even people who own firearms and are comfortable around firearms and know firearms believe that the Second Amendment is there to protect your right to protect yourself from criminals and to go hunting. But it's really there to establish a citizen militia as opposed to a permanent standing professional army. Throughout Europe, our founders had seen that standing professional armies had been used not only to get the countries involved in perpetual war, but they were used to oppress citizens. Ignoring that, we've seen our standing army now in a perpetual war for the last 50, 60 years, and now we see that that oppression may be turning inward to us as we see what appears to be Homeland Security federalizing the police, arming them with military equipment that will be used domestically, as well as all the documents that have been released that we've covered so many times here at InfoWars. But let's take a look at the real vision that the founders had. The question was, who watches the watchers? If you've got guardians in a society, who guards you from those people? And that's why they came up with a citizen militia army. And if you look at the Constitution, even before the Second Amendment, if you look at Article 1, Section 8, you see that the Congress was given the power, delegated to it by the people, to raise and support armies, but for a period not longer than 2 years, although the Navy could be permanent, because a Navy is not going to be used as a tool of oppression within a country. It also provided for the Congress to call forth a militia to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections and repel invasions, basically the first line of defense, and to also organize, arm, and discipline the militia, and to train the militia. We don't see that happening in this country. But we see a country in Europe that was the vision for our founders. We see all of that happening today. We see a citizen army, a standing militia, a place where people are given the state-of-the-art military equipment and keep it in their homes. That place is Switzerland, and we have with us today a representative from what is the equivalent of the Swiss NRA. His name is Mark Heim, and the organization is ProTel. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Now, your organization is ProTel, and that you've got a part of the icon, the logo, is William Tell. Tell us a little bit about William Tell. He's kind of your Statue of Liberty, Boston Massacre, George Washington, kind of all rolled into one, isn't he?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. I'm sure you know the story, but for those who don't, you have to. The local bailiff had his own hat put on a stick and said everybody who passed by there had to salute the hat. And William Tell refused. So the guy had him put an apple on his son's head and have him shoot the apple off his head. And he took two arrows to shoot the apple. He hit the apple with the first, and then the bailiff asked him, what did you want the second arrow for? If you missed the first? He says, no, with the second, I certainly would not have missed you. Goes on from there, basically.
Yes, yes. And that was essentially the inspiration, the beginning of a rebellion. And it has essentially inspired people against tyranny through your country. And you had a bout yourself with gun control in 2009, is that correct?
That's correct. 2009, mainly the left part of the politics pushed through an initiative. So in 2011, we voted on it. It was pretty soundly defeated, much more soundly than most votes are going nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And it would have done things. It would have outlawed pump shotguns. It would have outlawed people keeping military rifles in their homes, which they do. Tell us a little bit. Now, what we want to talk about when we show this clip, one of the things that we wrestle with is the fact that people believe that the Second Amendment is just there to protect firearm collection or to let you protect yourself against crime. Those are all good things. Hunting, that's a good thing. But when they don't understand that it's really about a militia and that the founders of our country wanted to have a militia rather than a standing army, that's where we get into trouble, because that's when they start saying, well, you don't need a gun that powerful. You don't need a gun that has that many rounds, that sort of thing. But tell us about Switzerland. What is the military situation in Switzerland?
Well, basically, we are a neutral country. One of the reasons that we're neutral is because we have our own military. Everybody gets drafted, or let's say all men get drafted. The amount of soldiers that we have has been reduced over the past 20 years or so. But we still have one of the larger militaries in Europe, even though we're one of the smallest countries. And guns are, as far as we see it, are the basis of freedom. Because if you don't have guns, you cannot defend yourself. Can guns be used to oppress? Yes, certainly. But if you don't have them to defend yourself, then you're really just at anybody's whim and at his mercy.
I think of Switzerland, I think of peace through strength. I mean, look at the Second World War. You guys were an island, essentially held off Nazi aggression. They did not attack you. It would have been suicide to attack you the way you're fortified. You've got all these built-in concrete bunkers and the passes coming into the country. Everybody is armed and capable of defending themselves. And it's that kind of defensive posture where the citizens themselves take responsibility for their own safety and for the security of the country that I think makes Switzerland not only safe through strength, as we saw in the Second World War, but it also keeps you from getting involved in foreign entanglements. Those were things that were so central to the vision of this country, and it seems like we've lost that. Those are things that were put into the Constitution, as I read in the introduction. In our Constitution, before we even get to the Second Amendment, we have a Article 1, Section 8 that says that although we'd have a permanent Navy to protect us, we would have a army that would only come in, be raised up for 2 years at a time. And then it would go back to the militia. And there's all kinds of provisions about the government training and equipping the citizens. And they do that in your country, don't they?
Yes, that's right.
They even give you ammunition to shoot, right?
Yes, we have to qualify once a year. And there's a second shoot that they give you. For both of those, they give you the ammunition free of charge.
It's a very different situation than we have in this country. Right now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but we've got Department of Homeland Security. Is, of course, now the military has their own ammunition company that does all their own ammunition. But Homeland Security came into the private market and has been basically buying up options with people, over 2 billion bullets and counting. Those are just some of the RFPs that we've seen. And they're essentially creating an incredible shortage so that even police departments, and we just saw yesterday that even some Marines are being told that they have to conserve ammunition. So they're just drying up ammunition from everybody and hoarding it. It's amazing how different it is. And in your country, they give ammunition to the citizen soldiers so they can learn how to shoot. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I've heard about the shortage that you're having in Homeland Security, buying up ammunition all over the place. Mm-hmm. They give us ammunition, and for the rest of the year, we can buy ammunition that is subsidized by the government. So we only pay probably a quarter of what it should cost.
Now, I wanted to ask you about your personal reasons for getting out. I saw an interview that you did at the time that the gun control initiative was floating in Switzerland. A radio, I think it was your national radio station, did an interview with you. And you shared a reason for how you got involved in this organization and why owning firearms for self-defense was so important to you. Could you share that with us?
The whole story?
No, not the whole story. It was just a short part of it, but...
Well, basically, I was walking through the Holocaust Museum, and to me, that was history. Basically, that's something that would never happen again. I knew it happened, but the world has changed. Everything is fine now. These kind of things will not be allowed to happen again. And while I was looking at the lampshades, I heard a strange noise next to me, and there was an old woman who was trying not to cry. She was sort of sobbing quietly and trying not to let go. And that's sort of when it all hit me. She had gone through all that, and that's when I started thinking, I do not want to be in her position ever. And that's when I really started. I was interested as a kid already, but that's when I really started getting serious about guns and being able to defend myself.
And that's a key thing. So many people believe that these types of things just can't happen to them. And when you start thinking like that, that's when you're the most vulnerable and things can happen to you. If you're proactive, if you say, I'm going to do the things that will deter this, that's when you're really the safest. It's really kind of a peace through strength type of thing. Just as having guns deters crime, it also deters tyranny for the people to know that the citizenry is armed.
Well, not just it can. If you look at any, let's say, a professional military, can be used for defense or for attack. And if you look, just look around, even in Europe, but look around the world, and there are wars going on all over the place, and people getting slaughtered by the other tribe or the other group.
Yes. So
it's definitely going to happen again. If you look back in the last couple of hundred years, at least in Europe, every 20 to 40 years, there was a war.
Yes. And if you look at the country, the history of our country, when we had a standing, when we had a militia and we did not have a permanent standing army, we were not invading and attacking other countries. It was only after we went to a permanent standing army after World War II, and as we go towards a professional army, we are starting wars with everybody. We have multiple conflicts going on with multiple countries in the Middle East, and they're still looking to start it in other countries. That's the way this always breaks down. I mean, we can see that not only in Europe, and that's what the founders saw in Europe. That's why they did not want to have a professional army in the first place. But we've seen that as we lost that vision that the founders had for our country, the vision that we still see happening in Switzerland, as we lose that vision, we see our country not only becoming involved in foreign wars, but then becoming the aggressor. And now we see this military-industrial complex, which has been feeding off of this professional army, starting to arm itself for domestic conflict. Because they're bringing these weapons home in massive quantities. We have 2,700 armored personnel carriers that are being repurposed for American streets and given to the police. And we see the police becoming federalized in this country. And this is the way that it always happens, that this professional standing army comes back and essentially oppresses the people at home. When we had the shock and awe of Iraq, they said, well, we've taken out all their military installations, and now we need boots on the ground in order to really control them. And that's what the founders of this country were concerned about, having these boots on the ground actually be boots that are on us, boots that are on our throats, because that's the way it eventually turns around that way.
If you want to control a population, the first thing to do is to disarm them.
Yes.
That's what Hitler did when he went into Austria, and that's what happened all over the world, basically.
Let's talk a little bit about crime rates, because this is something that's a favorite attack line of the gun controllers. And it's not a very valid comparison, because you're comparing, when you compare different countries and different cultures and different attitudes and climates, you're going to get very, very radically different crime rates. So I've always maintained that you want to look at England before and after a total gun ban. You want to look at Australia before and after a total gun ban. You want to look at America before and after the assault weapons ban. And we see in each of those cases that violent crime, even gun crime, goes up radically after gun bans. In England, in the 10 years after the gun ban, it went up 89%. But tell us about Switzerland, where you've got everybody with military assault weapons, the absolute nightmare of the left here, that people would be given these assault weapons and it'd be so widespread and people would be keeping them in their homes. Tell us about that in Switzerland. What's your crime rate there?
The crime rate is very low compared to other countries in Europe. It is increasing, but that, of course, has nothing to do with the gun availability. By the way, those assault rifles you were talking about, those are selective fire, fully automatic rifles.
Oh, okay. Not even semi-automatic?
No, those are full of.
Okay. Well, the people who are trying to grab the guns in this country don't really understand the difference between fully automatic and semi-automatic anyway. They, that detail is really lost on them. They don't even have a definition for assault rifle. It can be an assault rifle, can be something with a pistol grip and a bayonet holder. If it doesn't have the bayonet holder, then it's not an assault weapon. It's essentially something that just looks scary to them, because it's a very irrational thing. But in Switzerland, as you said, they not only have what would be called fully, by any measure, an assault weapon, but it's fully automatic, and people will keep these in their homes. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being an example there in Switzerland.
I hope we stay this way, too.
Yes, yes. I hope that we don't lose the vision of what a militia is in this country, and I hope that maybe we can extend this. Maybe we can hang on to it and get some other countries to understand. You know, the real question is, who controls the people who control us, right? That's why, you know, the age-old question was, who watches the watchers? Who controls the government when they have a monopoly on force? The answer is, nobody will control them. That's why you have to have the citizens armed.
Yeah, well, the one good thing about the U.S. is that you still have a really large percentage of people who still have the right spirit and know what's going on. Then there are others. I don't even blame the people who are trying to disarm us, because they just think differently, and they lost contact with reality. Mm-hmm. And there's not much you can do about that. It's either they not look at their faces, not in it, and maybe wake up.
And I think a lot of it
so far.
Exactly. I think a lot of it has to do with people not knowing or having anything to do with guns. It gives them an irrational fear. It's almost as if we had an automobile accident and a particular type of car was involved in the automobile accident, and they want to ban that particular type of car from people who were not involved in the accident. You know, that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing there's so many guns in the hands of so many responsible gun owners who are not involved in crime, and they're the ones that they're trying to disarm.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Mark. Keep up the good work in Switzerland.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Switzerland stands in stark refutation to the arguments that are made by the gun controllers. Piers Morgan likes to talk about crime rates between different countries, when actually that's not a valid comparison. But we see that even in Switzerland, where they have fully automatic weapons kept in the homes, we see that they have a very low crime rate compared to the UK or the United States. Of course, the valid comparison is what happened to the crime rate before and after gun control. And we see that with the guns in the hands of the people, the crime rates are always lower, and they rise when the guns are taken away from the average citizen. But we also have people like General McChrystal, who, when he was promoting his book, kept going on CNN and Fox News and talking about bullets and guns that people shouldn't have because those should only belong to the military. That is a very dangerous idea. That is not the vision of America that's in the Constitution. That's not the vision of America that the founders had. And that does not result in peace, either domestic or foreign peace. It invites armies who go abroad seeking monsters to destroy, and it invites tyranny at home. Switzerland is a great example of how a militia should work and how our militia should work according to the Constitution. Now, if you want to see more about breaking news, find out what's going on with the gun control debate, stay tuned to Prison Planet TV if you're watching on YouTube. Remember that a subscription helps us, and it also helps you to spread the truth. Up to 10 people can watch simultaneously. Of course, you can pass that out to more people. They may not all be watching at exactly the same time. It streams throughout the night. But we'd appreciate it if you could subscribe to Prison Planet TV if you're not a subscriber. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.